morning. Peace be with you and welcome to this online gathering of Rosedale United Church in Toronto. I'm standing in our beautiful garden at Rosedale United. The fountain is on behind me. It's a wonderfully peaceful and meditative space, and it's open to all. And if you are in the neighborhood, if you're close enough to walk or bike, I invite you to make use of this space whenever you want to. We happen to have just started a project for healing during this COVID time. We're inviting people to write on little cards that you'll find in our little free library, what they have lost during this time, to name it, but also to write on the other side of the card what they have found. You can see one of the little cards here behind me. I want to invite you to take part and also just to make use of this space. This church is here for you. Wherever you are right now, I want you to know that it's really meaningful to us that you have chosen to be here and to be a part of this community today. I know that each of you is coming off of a different week. Some of you have never been better. For others, I know that every day right now is a struggle. Some of you have experienced deep loss this week. Some of you have been surprised by joy. I encourage you to bring all of what you're feeling into this time of prayer and music and reflection, and to let us hold you. It's windy, but that's okay, because today is Pentecost Sunday. It's a day when we are celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit, filling the church, and the image of the Spirit in the reading that we deal with today is an image of wind. And so I think it's appropriate that it's a windy day today. Our core values at Rosedale United Church are to learn, to grow, and to serve. And we invite you to visit our website to note the many ways you can engage in these values in our programming, and also to support the ministry that you find meaningful by donating online. We are gathered on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas, the Anishinaabe, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Wendat. We acknowledge their stewardship of this land throughout the ages, and also that we are treaty people. Rosedale United is also an affirming church. All are welcome here. And now I want to invite you to quiet your mind and open your heart with a time of music, and then Roberta will lead us in prayer.
Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there, I am there.
Good morning, everyone. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Let us begin our Pentecost worship with prayer. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you descend upon us with wind and flame, igniting something in us that cannot be ignored and moving us to action, calling us to perform acts of mercy and justice to create your world. Ignite the flame in us every moment. Continue to call us towards you, towards a world of love, of compassion, of action, and of justice. Breathe new life into us. Comfort us. And remind us that we're called to be the church in thought, word, and deed. Amen.
Hi, everyone. Last night around 9 p.m., I got a phone call from Rose Dyson, who let me know that her husband, Norm Dyson, passed away yesterday, Saturday afternoon. And Rose asked that we hold Norm in our prayers this morning, and that we hold her in our prayers as well, as a community. And so I want to invite you to pray with me. Holy One, we know that in life and in death and in life beyond death, you are with us and we are not alone. We pray for Norm Dyson, for his spirit. We ask that he be at home with you. We know that he is at peace now and that he is no longer suffering. We pray for Norm's family. We lift up to you Rose. We lift up to you her children and grandchildren. And we pray that Rose might feel your real presence with her, that she might be comforted, that she might be filled with warm memories and with a sense of having been loved through this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From Acts chapter 2, selected verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, this crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "People of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the witness of the early church. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God. We have a tradition in our family when it's one of our kids' birthdays. We pull out the photo album from the year they were born and look through all the pictures. "That's you when you were just a few hours old," we say. "There you are trying solid food for the first time. There are your first steps." There's something important in deliberately looking back on who we were. It helps us to remember who we are. It strengthens our sense of identity. "Remember that part of yourself," we say. "Do you remember that? Do you remember?" Today happens to be the birthday of the church, of the Christian church. And every year on this Sunday, we pull out the book of Acts to look at an old snapshot of the early church. Looking back, we remember how we began and who we are at our core and what we should be about. It was the Feast of Pentecost, an ancient Jewish festival, kind of like our Thanksgiving. Pentecost is the Greek word for 50th, and the feast took place on the 50th day after Passover. Just after Passover, you'd plant your crops, then count the weeks until you got to 7 weeks after planting, or 50 days, and on the 50th day, everyone traveled to Jerusalem to visit the temple and offer up to God the first fruits of their harvest. So the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place. That original small group of friends who had followed Jesus, 11 of them now, along with the women who worked with them and several dozen others who had joined the group, they'd gathered together for Pentecost, a celebration they'd planned just for the group of them. It had been 50 days since Jesus had died, and there was such a feeling of comfort in this gathering. Within the group, there was such a sense of security. It felt so good to look around a room and recognize every single other face there. And then there was the comfort in the predictable flow of their services. Everyone knew what was going to come next. The rituals were familiar to them by now. The greeting at the door as they came in, the passing of the peace, the recitation of the same prayers, and the singing of the same hymns. For many of us, church is a place where we draw comfort in the predictable. When my family moved to Los Angeles a few years ago for a year, one of the first things we did to steady ourselves after the chaos and stress of moving was to find a church community. First Congregational Church of Pasadena sat solid and immovable, a stone building. We walked through the front doors and happened to be greeted in exactly the same way as we were at our church in Toronto. That was comforting. The minister said it was time to pass the peace, and we turned and shook hands. Peace be with you, we said, just like at home. And this group said the Lord's Prayer just like we did. And after the service, they too moved into an old parlor for coffee and tea and conversation. It was all so familiar, all so predictable, all so comfortable. But you know, when you go back and look at the picture of how the church came to be, what you see is that church, when it began in an entirely strange way. And you realize that the church was actually conceived in totally unpredictable circumstances. And as I look back and ponder the image of that time, I think it would actually have been really uncomfortable to be a part of the church in its early form. It was the day of Pentecost, and all of the disciples were together in one place when suddenly and without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building, and the Holy Spirit spread among them like wildfire. If you are sitting next to someone right now, imagine them starting to speak in a language you know they've never studied, Swedish or Japanese or Arabic. Now imagine a burning sensation in your own chest and your eyes widening as you open your mouth to speak Icelandic. The story goes that there were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then for Pentecost, devout pilgrims from all over the world. And when they heard that sound of speech coming from where the disciples had gathered, they came on the run, one after another. They were thunderstruck. "They're speaking our languages," they said. "They're describing God's mighty works." Back in the middle of March this year, in North America at least, in response to the global pandemic, we had to close our church building. You know the story. For the health and safety of all, in the face of a very infectious virus, we had to suspend in-person gatherings. And all of a sudden, everything that we thought of as making church, what was familiar to us, what was predictable to us, what was comfortable to us, the passing of the peace, the singing together, the sharing food, well, none of that could be church for us anymore, at least not in the same way. I was asking myself existential questions. What did it mean to be the church if we couldn't offer people what was familiar and what was predictable and what was comfortable? Wasn't that a big part of what being church is all about? I raised the question with myself and was met all of a sudden with a sound like the rush of a violent wind. "Hold on," the Spirit said. "It's going to be a wild ride. Time to move out of your comfort zone," she said. And then she blew open the doors of this sanctuary with the force of a gale wind. "You're going to speak a different language now," she said. "It translates into a series of ones and zeros when digitized. It can be understood by people all over the globe. I want you to start speaking now," she said, "into your phone." "But what about our Bible study?" I asked. "And what about the contemplative prayer groups? And how is Roberta going to lead youth group and Sunday school?" I said. "Have you heard of Zoom?" she questioned. "I don't know," I said. "I don't know if I like church this way. In fact, I don't even know if you could call any of this, what we're doing here, church." And that's when the Spirit sat me down on the couch and pulled out the old album called The Book of Acts and flipped to the snapshot of the church the year it came into being. "Take a look at this picture," she said, pointing at the book. "Don't you remember how the church began?" she said. "Don't you remember? I didn't make the church for you to be comfortable," the Spirit said. "The church came into being to share my message." Today, we are asked to remember that the church did not come into being to occupy a certain kind of building. The story of our inception doesn't reference any towering cathedrals, vaulted ceilings, or rich colors of stained glass. And we're asked to remember that the church did not come into being to bask in the familiar and the predictable in ancient rituals and shared traditions. The story of Pentecost reminds us that the church came into being to share a message. A group of people were empowered by the Spirit to speak. God's Spirit empowered the disciples to share a message. And that was the beginning of church, a people empowered to speak. Now, it needs to be said that ours is a world in desperate need of an encouraging and empowering word. I know that no time in human history exists without the twin presence of goodness and evil. Goodness and evil flow through every era like parallel streams, but it seems to me that in the present era, evil is threatening to overflow its banks and to flood us. As if it wasn't enough that an infection of greed and a penchant for ease in humanity threatens the loss of our natural world, there is not a single person living on Earth right now who has not experienced some kind of immediate and devastating loss from the COVID-19 pandemic. 365,000 dead worldwide, and the numbers are still rising. But the news in this past week and month have made it impossible to ignore that our world continues to be ravaged by yet another devastating disease, the pernicious disease of racism and its presence and persistence among white people everywhere. Those infected are known to be violent and deadly to people of color. Witness the racist attack against two Asian women on a Vancouver bus, and the terrible murders of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd in the United States, to mention a handful of recent victims of this pandemic that has raged for centuries. It's always been the work of good religion in every era to witness to the power and presence of goodness in the face of evil. And this has been the mandate of the Christian church at its best as well. We are called to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to cry out for justice, and to urge repentance in ourselves and others. No doubt our world needs an encouraging word. And how will the church bear witness? How can the church deliver such a message when we're so far out of our comfort zone right now, when nothing is predictable, when the familiar has been closed? But I can hear the Spirit saying, do we need to sit down again and pull out that album and look at those old snapshots of the early church to remind ourselves of what it is to be the church? Members of Rosedale United Church, friends on Facebook, you who stumbled upon this message on your news feed, you that had this video forwarded to you by someone else, all of you who are listening, today is about remembering that you are the church. God's Spirit has been poured out on you. You have within you the visions and the dreams our world needs to hear. The church is a message. That's the message of Pentecost. It is the Spirit's message of love and mercy and forgiveness and compassion for this world, and the Spirit has empowered you to speak it. You embody the Spirit's message wherever you go, and so you are the church. Now that we've taken the time to look back, now that we've sat on this birthday with the snapshots and heard again the story of our origins, remember who you are. You are the church. And I want to invite you to listen within yourself for the Spirit's message for a hurting world, a world that needs a word. The Spirit is empowering you to speak it. God has poured God's Spirit on all people. God has poured God's Spirit on you. When you go outside today and when you feel the rush of the wind, let it move you. Know that you are a part of God's continuing story. You are the message. You are the encouraging word. You are the church. Amen.
I'll never fear, for I am sheltered by